Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Some of the most popular content on our social media channels is of the various programs in our facilities that involve dogs. We typically highlight the nonprofit organizations that work with our incarcerated handlers to raise puppies that will go on to be service dogs and others who are working to help dogs who had been considered to be unadoptable prepare for their forever home. Today, we're going to learn about the working dogs of the DOC, canines who work with their DOC partners to keep their facilities safe by keeping drugs and other contraband out. Now, the dogs themselves make for terrible podcast guests, so let's welcome in Captain John Evans. So, Captain Evans, we post a lot on social media about the dog training programs in our facilities, but we also have working dogs in our department. Can you tell us how the dogs work with your team?
Dogs that are in the housing units that they train, we generally, they don't have any contact because we don't want any negative incidents, but our dogs are trained specifically to find narcotics, and that's it. Our dogs don't react to somebody's cat or somebody's. I have dogs at home. We always hear all that stuff. So our dogs are working dogs to find trained odors, and those being narcotics.
And where do these dogs receive their training? Is that something that's done here with the department? Do they get training specifically with their assigned handlers? How does that work?
We haven't received any new dogs since I've been on the unit for the last 2.5 years. But the dogs do come from Germany. They come from Belgium. So they do come in partially trained. They do come in. We train them at the canine facility down at SCI Benner. We have a brand new building that was just completed about a year and a half, a little over 2 years ago. Beautiful training facility. We have kennels down there, and they do a 4-month training. The handlers do a 4-month training with the dogs, and they become sergeants with the department.
If you train a dog to find contraband narcotics, does a dog look for one specific type, or can you train them on multiple types, marijuana, K2, all at the same time?
We could train them to find cheese if we really wanted to. Different departments do different things. So our dogs are trained to find several different types of drugs, some of them including heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamine, Suboxone, which is huge for us because Suboxone and K2 are our biggest contraband sources in the prisons, and they crush it. So they do a really good job. We up the game. So every time they try to switch it up, we're staying up with the current trends.
And why is it so important to find the drugs in our system and spend the time and the resources on these interdiction canines?
Canine's part of a huge part of the Bureau of Investigations and Intelligence. So we're not just canine. We're canine and also working with intelligence. We're also working with criminal. We're working with we have the best analytics unit, and I'm not just saying that. We have the best analytics unit in the country. The drugs coming into these facilities are feeding the criminals on the street. They're feeding them with drugs. They're feeding them with money. But, these drugs coming in are causing violence because dude's going to sell Suboxone to a guy, and he's going to hold him up for whatever, $1,000, $1,500, whatever it may be.
So you're saying drug debts lead to a lot of violence in the system?
Absolutely, yes. Yep. And it used to always be gambling back in the day, but now that we have these other means of drugs coming in, Suboxone and K2 are nothing on the street, really. I mean, you can go down to the local dispensary and purchase marijuana legally, but our drugs are trained on marijuana as well, because marijuana is worth a fortune in the prison. A Suboxone strip may not be worth anything on the street, but in the jail, it may be worth $100, $200, $300, $400, depending on your prison. So it's very, and it takes a lot to get it in there. So, I mean, we're definitely a part of curbing the violence, but there's a team behind us that's really pushing those efforts.
So the analytics folks kind of help you decide where to spend your resources, where to bring the dogs, which areas to search, right? That's the analytics supporting the interdiction?
Absolutely. The analytics department coincide with the institutional gathering lieutenants at the jails. Their job's to develop informants. They get their information, or they just observe what's going on. They know what's going on. They compare notes with the analytics department, and we've been doing intelligence deployments, which is fantastic. We've been really doing some good stuff with that. But yes, the analytics department feeds us with quality information based off of our computer system. I don't want to get into too much with that, but we have quite a bit, and it's amazing. And the fines have been spiking through the roof since we've been doing some different stuff. So it's a game, and we just need to stay ahead of it. And I think we have the right people in the right place to do it.
I want to ask you about the training of the dogs they receive. You mentioned it being a game, and I think that's kind of how the dogs learn to find. They treat it like a game. But before we get there, I want to ask you about medical marijuana, which you mentioned earlier. It is, you know, decriminalized in Pennsylvania with a medical card, but the statute was written in such a way that it exempts our facilities. In other words, even if as a visitor or someone else just coming to the institution, even if I have my card, I'm not allowed to bring cannabis onto the property.
Absolutely not. If you are caught with cannabis on grounds in your vehicle, the criminal or the state police will be notified, depending on the amount sometimes. But yes, the criminal will be notified, and you'll be it's up to the superintendent, obviously, but you will be told to leave the grounds. The marijuana will be confiscated, and
it could affect the visiting privileges, your ability to come back to a jail at a later time.
Yeah, because again, you know, you look at Suboxone is a you know, it's there to treat opiates, opiate disorder. So, you know, who's to say that person didn't have that in their car because they were bringing it in for, or they had it for their medical use. But in the jail, it's severe contraband. So, that's huge. And I'm sure marijuana would smell really bad, but you know, if they're bringing gummies, I mean, you're not going to smell gummies in the yard. You're not going to smell, you know, so, I mean, we don't know what their intentions are with the marijuana. So, at the end of the day, it's, you know, and there's a huge sign in front of every single one of our prisons. So I guess some people don't read them, but it's in English and Spanish. So everybody can read.
Like you said, there's signs there. It's in the statute. It's not a decision the department has made. It's the way the law is written.
Correct.
Even though it may be legal for you to possess in your home with a valid medical card, leave it at home when you're coming to visit our facilities.
If you're smoking today, you might, you know, if before you come up, don't smoke because the dog's going to turn you away. Because if you smoked that day, the dog's going to find it on you, even if you don't have it on you. So residual odor is huge. If you had it in your pocket the day before and you didn't wash your jeans, you know, the dog's going to hit you.
We're chatting with Captain John Evans from the Bureau of Intelligence and Investigation K-9 Unit. Talk to me a little bit more about the dogs in your unit and the training they receive. What's the training like, and what's it like to get to work with a dog every day?
So I don't actually get a dog as a lieutenant or the captain. I don't have a dog. I have three of my own at the house. I don't need any more. The training is a 4-month program. There's a lot of physical. So to get on as a sergeant on the unit, you have to actually pass the PT test. There's a 1-mile run. There's multiple physical fitness that you have to go through, and end up running with the dogs back and forth. You know, they end up training them on the orders. So when a dog's looking for the trained drug order, they teach them, like, basically when they find the order, they're rewarded with a toy. And the toy is what they're looking for. They're not looking for the actual drug itself. So when they find the drug, the toy magically appears there, and they get the toy, and they're happy. So much so that they don't want to ever give it up. So it is really fun to work with the dogs. Everybody wants to pet them. Some of the dogs I don't want to pet, but we do have very, you know, for the most part, I mean, our dogs are all really friendly. Every single dog has its own personality. I think sometimes they match the personality of the handler. So it's kind of interesting. But the training's pretty grueling. They have a lot of knowledge that they have to learn, and there's a lot that they have to do with tests, and all of our handlers have been through it, and so if they are a canine handler right now, they've been through quite a bit, and they deserve their spots on the unit.
A lot of times we get questions, how do you keep the dogs safe? If they're putting their snouts looking for these drugs, is there any danger of them getting a contact high? And how do we keep our dogs safe when they're working?
Fentanyl exposure is huge right now. That's fentanyl's in everything. You don't want the dogs to actually be exposed to that. That's why we actually teach and train canine first aid. We have Narcan on us for the dog as well as us. So, it is dangerous, especially around the inmates. We've had dogs assaulted by inmates before. One thing to keep in mind is, like, you know, a lot of the inmates don't understand is that, you know, harassment of a canine is a misdemeanor offense. So if they're disturbing the canine search, they can actually be charged by the district attorney's office, which You know, it's very serious. These dogs are not only are they expensive, but they're police officers. You know, they're one of us, you know. So, and I don't know about you guys, but if you're a dog lover, you don't mess with somebody's dog.
The dogs just got their own vests through grant funding from a nonprofit organization called Vested Interest. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Captain Scott Van Gorder, he was the captain of the unit. He came back as an annuitant. He's currently a school resource officer. He's a Napa WADA instructor, North American Working Police Dogs Association. He's come back and he's a wealth of information. And he happened to come across this grant to get these vests. And so there was one of the canines were fatally stabbed in Virginia, and it really brought that to light. And you know, the safety of our canine partners is paramount. So I think it was an excellent thing that he did, that he kind of spearheaded. And I know a lot of people have helped out, and now all of our dogs have safe vests that they can walk around the prisons and not have to worry about. We don't have to worry about, that's one less thing we have to worry about, per se. So that, I think it was a really great thing. And they look pretty sharp in them too, I'm not going to lie.
I know you can't go into too many details of exactly where you find things, but then that gives people an idea of where not to hide things. But I do want to ask if you can tell us a story, if you've got an example of where you were really impressed that you couldn't believe either the amount the dog found because it was so tiny, or such a great hiding place. Is there anything you can tell us a great story of working with a canine?
There's so many stories. Every day we're finding drugs. From I live in the Scranton area all the way out to the Pittsburgh area. I did have an example at Chester. We had Sergeant McCusker walking past an inmate, and his dog Bobby is a Malinois that we acquired from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Bobby just was walking past the inmate and turned his head over to the inmate's pocket, and he had a 16th of a Suboxone strip, which is like less than a fingernail size, in his pocket. And to me, that's super impressive. And then we have another instance where Sergeant Lard had a visitor walking in. She had her purse, and the dog sat down immediately, and there was approximately 200 strips of Suboxone in there. And when the state police came, we articulated to that, like, you know, how much that's worth, and they couldn't believe it. So, I mean, finding that much is crazy.
Sounds like the dogs are always on, even if they're not you're not commanding them to search something. If they're walking around and if they pick up on something, they'll alert.
They are so highly motivated to find the drugs. Like, their drive is incredible. And when they do find it and they get that toy, they're so happy and so rewarded. But it's great to see the handler work with each and every dog. And every handler, like I said, they have their own ways of working with stuff. But it's fantastic. It's really great when they get the fine too, because it gives confidence to the handler. It gives confidence in us for the dog. And it just shows that, you know, your hard work does pay off.
Just another way that we're trying to keep the staff and the incarcerated population safe inside our facilities. EDS Winterowitz mentioned that your team is doing some really good stuff, lots of new projects on the horizon. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
We did get to bring them out to Frackville with us. That was kind of fun. They were kind of, it was like undercover boss. You know, here's a second in command of state walking around with a canine hoodie on, and nobody knew who he was. They thought he was a rookie. He had fun with us, and we got to show him what we did and how we do some stuff. I know they came down to some training too, and they brought the RDSs down, so that was fun to actually get them to kind of showcase a little bit, just a tiny portion of what we do, because we do work hard. You know, these dogs are so happy to get out of their homes. These dogs actually go home to their with their handlers. They're supplied kennels. When there's poor weather, we actually they have an alternate kennel that they can stay in indoors with. So if it's super hot, they can stay in air conditioning. If it's super cold, they can go down, you know, to a warmer place. So they're well taken care of. They don't eat people food. They're not allowed on your couch. They don't get, you know, but they do get to play in the yard with their kids and exercise. So that's great. But, you know, that's all part of it. These dogs train when they're home too. So a lot of times these guys will go home and they'll train with their dogs on their own time, just for the fun of it, just to, you know, because they want to stay ahead of their game. So it's so
how long is a dog's career? You mentioned that they live with their handlers. Is it so that they're partnered, and they I imagine if the handler retires or gets a new assignment, they'll be placed with another handler. But for the most part, it's a partnership. How long do the dogs work?
I would say at least 8, 9, 10 years. It depends on the dog. We actually just had this conversation. We have a dog, who's about 8 years old, and you know, you'd never guess it. It seems like a 4-year-old puppy. So I guess it's all depending on again, their drive, just seeing how they work. Seeing them at training, and I haven't seen any dogs that shown any signs of slowing down just yet. So when the dogs are retired, they do have the option to stay with the handler, which is great because, I mean, that's been their partner for years. You know, we've had people that retired with a younger dog, and that handler may have had a different style to work with that dog. Well, then we bring another person in that has a different style, and it's neat to watch that dog conform to that other style of work. So it's pretty neat. But yeah, about 9 years, 9-10 years, and like I said, we have some dogs. Canines, you know, I learned, I came from the incel side, and when I got the canine, I really realized that, you know, it's really a family. And it's not just here, it's across the entire United States. We all talk to other states, New York, Massachusetts, it's endless. And we all cross train. So this year at Camp Hill, we had a nice training where we had stations all set up, and Camp Hill was generous enough to allow us to use their grounds. And I was dumb enough to put the bite suit on, and well, the Williamsport police has a really big mouth, that bit right through it and cut me in the bicep. But it's really fun to see other institutions, other entities, and it's all about networking too. You know, we have 3 parole agents that are also on the unit. You know, the parole agents actually can find weapons, which is fantastic. And that's keeping, I mean, getting these guns off the street is huge. Big shout out to those guys. They go away for 3 months away from their family to Virginia with the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol to work these dogs. And they come home just studs and ready to get these guys training. So these guys are dedicated. They're you call them up and say, hey, you got to be there at 4 a.m. somewhere. Hey, state police just called. They're on the side of the road. They couldn't get any support from state police. Can you go out to whatever and assist? And these guys are, nobody can, like, they're more than happy to go out there and do it. So dedication, integrity, that's what these sergeants and these parole agents have. And I'm truly honored and blessed to be a captain for this unit. And I'm glad for the support that we receive from Secretary Harry all the way down. In the support of our BI analytics, criminal. I'm not trying to give plugs here. I don't get any payments, but you know, we wouldn't be successful without the people that are supporting us. You know, this isn't a game for attaboys. You know, this is a game where, you know, we have to work together for one cause, and I think it's awesome that we do that.
Thanks again to Captain Evans for chatting with us about how the members of his team, both 2- and 4-legged, work together to keep our facilities and communities safe. You've been listening to the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. For more DOC content, including plenty of dog pics and videos, follow us on social media. We're at CorrectionsPA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. For executive producer Kurt Bope, I'm your host Ryan Tarkowski. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.